الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك ترضى وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد.
The Holy Prophet addressing his companion Ababa continues in the wasiyya, says, Ya Aba Dhar, inna sharra an-nas manzilatan 'inda Allah yawm al-qiyamati 'alimun la yantafi'u bi-'ilmih wa man talaba 'ilman liyasrifa bihi wujuha an-nas ilayh lam yajid riha al-jannah. The Prophet says, addressing Aba Dhar, that O Aba Dhar, indeed, the worst among the mankind, the worst in rank on the Day of Judgment, is a scholar who does not benefit from his knowledge. One who gains knowledge to attract the people, he will not smell the fragrance of the heaven. And continues saying that, Ya Aba Dhar, man ibtagha al-ilm liyakhda bihi an-nas lam yajid riha al-jannah. That is, one who seeks knowledge to cheat people, to mislead people, to deceive people, such a person will not smell the fragrance of the heaven. So it's a shocking report, advice of the Holy Prophet for the scholars, for those, for the orators, for the speakers who do not practice what they preach. So I listen to myself first. Regarding the heaven and how much of a distance there is for those who, as it was mentioned here, that they will never feel the fragrance of the paradise. Some riwayat say that sometimes there's a distance of 500 years. There's a distance of 500 years if someone wants to meet Aba Abdullah al-Hussein in the heaven. That is, for those who have been assigned with the heaven, they have to wait for 400 years, 500 years until that appointment is scheduled and they meet the Imam. For some of the sinners, it is said that the distance they have, it's a distance of 500 years, that they will not even be able to smell the fragrance of the heaven because of that, the wrong that they had done. So over here in this advice, he mentions the worst of the worst, and that is someone who possesses that knowledge and does not benefit from that knowledge, or he knows and he does not get help from that knowledge. Why is it like that? Someone who knows good and bad and still he does not act in accordance to that knowledge, that is, that deserves this punishment. Many a times we find that people, they gain knowledge to gain a rank in this world. Sometimes this knowledge of deen, religion is sought so that after they return, they get a position. That too, one of the things that we have to give importance to is that these pulpits, mihrab, minbar that we have, they are all sacred. And not everyone is permitted to use them. And it has been the practice of the ulama, that is, they used to give licenses to their students as to whether they are permitted to perform tabligh or not. Even just a few decades ago, for istikharas also, they used to write a license, a note, that they are permitted to perform istikharas. May that be umur hisba, even for those umur hisba, that is, if there are disputes in the community, among the families, among the centers, etc. All these are special licenses which are granted by the mujtahideen to the students for them to conduct with these tasks. So seeking knowledge to gain rank, that is not permitted. And for that reason, Rasulullah over here mentions that someone who learns to mislead, learns to cheat, for him there is someone.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So for that, there are four tips that are mentioned here. That is, for this action of tabligh to be worthy, The criteria is 4 points to be observed. First of all, is that niyyat, that intention of an individual, that it has to be sincere and for the sake of Allah. Like prayers, we have to have an intention, like fasts and all other ahkam, without an intention of qurba, that is qasd qurba, that action becomes void. Even this tabligh, without an intention, without a sincere niyat, that becomes null and void. So that is first of all that we have to notice. And then says that the quality of what is being mentioned, that is also important. It shouldn't be as such that someone is invited and just to fill in the gap or just to fill in the blank or just to shed some light on some issues and that time is filled. That is not permitted. Because the amount of people who gather in a majlis, the amount of time that is spent in that majlis, all that a person is zamin for it. That is, if for example the speaker, he doesn't speak right or doesn't deliver the message correctly, so he is liable for all that time and effort that was put by the audience. If there is a group of 100 people that attend, 100 multiply that by that 1 hour, and all that time that takes to commute to come and return, so becomes liable for a huge big amount of time of others. So that has to be borne in mind, and the quality has to be good, and then the result, the end result of that, what is that? For example, Rasulullah, he preaches, he teaches, he educates. And as a result of his teaching and preaching, he has many who were taught and educated. Among them is Salman, among them is Abada, to whom this advice is being given. And at the same time, there have been people who learned from the Prophet, but they stood against the teachings of the Prophet. So there have been, for example, for Salman, Prophet, he says that Salman anta minna ahl al-bayt. That is, you are from us, ahl al-bayt. You are part of our family. And it was as such that whenever Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha did not see Salman, for a while she was worried, where is Salman? That is, he had come so close to the Ahl al-Bayt that they get worried. And sometimes people like Qa'qa, he is among those personalities who heard the message from the two Mubarak lips of the Prophet, but that message of Rasulullah did not help him. He stood against the Prophet in teachings and preachings, and many a times he used to go to places to preach and just create a disunity, a havoc among the community, and that was a mess that was created by that individual. So there have been students of Rasulullah who were well educated and who presented and promoted his deen, and there have been who stood against the teaching. Here, when it comes to these preachers who learn from the noble school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, our sixth Imam, he says that كُونُوا لَنَا زَيْنًا وَلَا تَكُونُ عَلَيْنَا شَيْنًا. That for us be a means of beauty. That is, to every individual, that is, whosoever is linked, is associated to Ahlul Bayt, they say that be a means of our beauty, so that we are proud of you. It shouldn't be as such that by the wrong that we do, they are ashamed, they are shy, they put their head down because of our wrong performance. Or for example, looking back into history, we've got two brothers here, and this is during the time of our ninth Imam, Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wassalam. Our ninth Imam, his name is Imam Muhammad Taqi alayhi salam, known as Imam Jawad. And the tenth, it's Imam Ali al-Naqi alayhi salam, known as Imam Hadi. So here, during the time of Imam Jawad, there are two brothers. One is Muhammad bin Faraj and the other is Omar bin Faraj. And it so happens that the two of them are present, lived in the same atmosphere, but one of them becomes a wonderful associate, companion of Ahlul Bayt, and the other one stands against the path of Ahlul Bayt. Muhammad bin Faraj was among the loyal servants of our Imam Jawad, and confronting him is his brother Umar bin Faraj, of an oppressor working for the Tawud, working for Harun al-Rashid, then for Ma'mun al-Rashid, and then for Mu'tasim and Mutawakkil. And at that time, when his brother Muhammad was busy compiling all the sayings and reports of Ma'sumin, he was looting, plundering, oppressing, that is, working in that system of Tawud of that time. After the shahadat of our seventh Imam, this brother Umar bin Farid, he is given a task, he and the killer of the seventh Imam are given a task to seize away all the possessions of the Imam's household. So he goes, he loots, he plunders and brings away whatever they possessed. And as a result of that performance, he was promoted and he becomes the governor of Medina and Mecca at one time. So when he becomes the governor of Medina and Mecca, the first instruction he gives, he says that total sanctions, embargo with the Alawiyun, with the Shias, with the followers of Ahlul Bayt. There's no dealing, no merchandise, no buying, no selling with them, not even conversing, communicating with them. And someone who does that has severe penalties, and that is whatever they possessed was seized away from them. And we've got special terms for this duration of time that the Shias were living in at that time. So severe punishments even for talking to Ahlul Bayt. And it so happens that so long as Mutawakkil was alive, his task discontinued with looting and plundering and oppressing the descendants of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And after that, it was such that even in our riwayat, we find the term that aliyat to hawasir, meaning that whatever was possessed by the descendants of Amir al-Mu'mineen was seized away by this mal'oon, so much so that their head covers also were taken away. And it was a time when women, they didn't come out of their houses because they had nothing to cover themselves. Or many a times this term that is used, that aliyat hawasir, meaning that there was one head cover which one of the women used to wear and come out in the market, whatever they wanted to buy, grocery shopping, and go back home. And with that one head cover, they used to say their prayers. So it was a tough time for the Shias of that era. And at that time, it was a test, both for the Shias and both for the oppressors. And when Mutawakkil, la'natullah alayh, he summons Muhammad bin Salam, that is after the shahadat of Imam Jawad alayhi salam.
Allah salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad.
Muhammad bin Salam, he says that after the death of this Umar bin Faraj, I went to Imam Hadi, that is the 10th Imam. And I said to him, Imam, Ibn Rasulullah, this Umar bin Faraj has been killed. What Imam does is that Imam raises his hands towards the sky and says, Alhamdulillah, 28 times. Alhamdulillah, 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 28 times. And Muhammad bin Salam, he says that if I knew that this news, it's going to make you so much happy, I would have rushed and ran to you without my footwear on, so that I could have reached you a few seconds earlier to make you happy. That is, pleasing Ahlul Bayt is that great that a few seconds also matters a lot. And then Imam says to him, that is, when he gives the message, he says that my father, that is Imam Jawad, he did give an advice to Umar ibn Faraj that don't be like that. Don't stand against the Ahlul Bayt. Don't oppress them. Don't fight them. And in reply, instead of getting the advice from the Imam, he says that أَذُنُّكَ سُكْرًا, Lord forbid, عَلَيَّا دُبِاللَّهِ, he says to the Imam that I'm certain you are drunk. He says then these words to the Imam. And at that time, Imam, he is deeply saddened and hurt upon this statement of this mal'oon and says to the Almighty Allah, Allahumma innaka kunta ta'lam inni amsaytu laka sa'iman fa'adhiqhu ta'am al-harb wa dhull al-asr. Says that, God, you are a witness. You know that I've come to this part of the day which is the asr and I'm fasting. That is to say that I didn't consume anything that he is accusing me of being drunk. And then says Allah, punish him. How disgrace him. Let him taste the heat. Let him taste the iron. And then the captivity and the prison. Here, Imam Hadi, he says that it is the dua of my father that was materialized after his shahada. What happens is that this Umar ibn Faraj, he is summoned after the shahada of the Imam, and he, whatever he possessed, be it the governor and of Medina and Mecca, was seized away from him. He was punished with the severe, most severe punishments, and the instructions were to chain him into 100 ratl of iron, that is equal to 300 kilograms of iron. He was chained and he was mashed and beaten every day until he died. And the instructions given were that this dose of beating him has to increase day by day, and many people were hired just to beat him. And the last day when he was beaten up, he was beaten 6,000 times and then he died. Imam says, this was the dua of my father which materialized after his shahada. It was mentioned yesterday that du'as, it isn't as such that when we ask something from Allah, it is given to us there and then. Sometimes they are delayed, sometimes they are given to the next generation, sometimes for the generations to come, so on and so forth. Now, the reason for mentioning the story of these two brothers was that they were associated with the Imam, living in the same atmosphere, learned from the Imam. One ended up as a good person, the other ended up as a horrible person. And here the Prophet says, Ya Aba Dhar, inna sharran nas manzilatan indallah yawm al-qiyamati alimun la yantafi'u bi'ilmih. That is, the worst of the creation on the Day of Judgment is that scholar from whom no one benefits, that he doesn't benefit from his knowledge. That is something that we have to look into. It was mentioned repeatedly that the soul that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us, it has to be protected at all times, and it has to be returned back to Allah in a clear format. That is, it shouldn't be polluted, it shouldn't be contaminated. The wrong that has been said by him as wrong must not be committed. And we have to go back, and that price tag, which is the heaven, has to be maintained. For that reason, all the inputs to the soul, they have to be secure. Not everything are we permitted to listen to. There is this hadith from Ma'asum, he says that, مَنْ أَصْغَى إِلَىٰ نَاطِقٍ فَقَدْ عَبَدَهُ. That someone who listens to a speaker, it is as if he is worshipping him. And if that speaker talks about Allah, he is worshipping God. And if he talks about Iblis, he has worshipped Iblis. Many a times they may not speak about Iblis openly, directly. But kalimatu haqqan yuradu biha al-batil. That is, haqq is being said, but the intentions are batil. So we have to be careful what we get, from where we get, because information, when it is provided to the soul on a regular basis, after a while we find that it becomes part and parcel of our existence, and we tend to understand and take that from that person easily. So this is what the Prophet mentions over here in this advice. Continues and says, Ya Aba Dhar, man lam ya'ti yawm al-qiyamati bithalath faqad khasir. That is, Aba Dhar, someone who does not bring these three on the Day of Judgment with him will be a loser. Aba Dhar says, وَمَا الثَّلَاثِ. What are the three? He says, فَدَاكَ أَبِي وَأُمِي. May my parents be sacrificed unto you. He says, قَالَ وَرَعٌ يَحْجُزُهُ عَمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Wara', it's that high level of taqwa. That is, all that Allah has said haram to be observed. أَمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَحِلْمٌ يَرُدُّ بِهِ جَهْلَ السَّفِي. That is, you have to possess a tolerance, a hilm, with which you could push aside, you could fight someone who is ignorant. So, and third he says, وَخُلْقٌ يُدَارِي بِهِ النَّاسِ. That is, an attitude, an akhlaq, with which you can deal with others. Tolerance is required. A lot of tolerance is required. Tolerance between husbands and wives, tolerance between parents and children, tolerance with friends, tolerance in communities, tolerance in mosques. tolerance even with God when it comes to worship. We need to tolerate. He has said that we have to pray. Sabr is required. Tolerance is required. That we stand in worship. One of the most needed tolerance that we have to have is in these family affairs. That is, every member of the family has to possess this. All these disputes that we have, all these divorces that we have, all these breakthroughs, children running away, parents are offended with their children, all that is lack of tolerance. We have to be tolerant. For example, a husband, if he's working 9 to 5, 8 hours or maybe 10 hours a day, the wife may be at home. The husband, he thinks that he is working and she's doing nothing, just sitting in front of the TV all day. That's not the case. If you are working for 10 hours, 8 hours outside, she's working twice, three times of your at home, looking after the house, cleaning, cooking, and if there's a child, then multiply that with another 10 hours. If there are two children, two 10 hours. Three children, three 10 hours. So in reality, in fact, she is serving, she is working three or four times more than the man. Now, when he comes home, he's tired. For the faintest thing, if she says anything, he bursts. Or she does. The teaching is that, first of all, when the husband returns and he is tired and you want to go somewhere, and you know that if you say that, at that very moment, he is going to say no. Wait for some time, give him a cup of tea, some juice, and then you say it to him. Especially if you want to take him to your mom's house, or to your in-laws, to your relatives. It's going to be a definite no. So, to get that yes, we have to be political at this point. That is the teaching. Or, for example, if she is enraged, you have to control yourself. Or if he is enraged, she has to control herself. It isn't as such that because he gave me a 1 kilogram of words, I have to pay him back with 1 kilogram. No. So, the teaching that we have over here is that هَلْمُنْ يَرُدُّ بِهِ جَهْلَ السَّفِيهِ. Safi means someone who is insane, someone who is mad. Now, doesn't mean that he has to be that real mad. No, whenever a person is upset, when he is out of his senses, when he is enraged, when he is angry, that person is also insane, of a lower level. The teaching is that the moment you find him furious, you control yourself. How do we control? If I'm standing and I'm hot-tempered, sit down. If I'm sitting and yelling, stand up. And if no, have some water, that way we will cool down. But the idea is that we have to train ourselves. And this is a problem which is afflicted in every individual. And we have to train ourselves. There is no other medicine, no other person, no third party who can come and help us. How do we do that? For example, if I just burst into flares, for every little thing, I have to constantly monitor myself. It was mentioned a few days ago that Rasulullah has three tips. He says that constantly have that accountability of yourself. Early in the morning, you have to say and have an agreement with your soul that this is how I will be until the night. During the day, monitor, and at the end of the day, take an account. How was I? That way, a person, if he was enraged every day, but when we have ourselves constantly being monitored, maybe that day I was a little bit better. The second day, better than yesterday. But that monitoring, that customer services is needed all the time, without which it is impossible. So ghazab, it's a bad quality. It shouldn't exist in us. One of the great ulama, Ayatullah Ali Shirazi, he was the ustad of Marhum Shaheed Mutahhar, lived in Isfahan. And at that time, when Marhum Shaheed Mutahhari, he wanted to study Nahj al-Balagha, it was said that this is the best person and there is no one else who could teach Nahj al-Balagha better than him. He says that I traveled all the way to Isfahan, I found him that he is really good in this field. Later on, he moved to Qum. One day, he says that Ustad, he ascended the member, the pulpit, to give his lecture. And instead of giving the lecture, he started crying like a mother who has lost his child. Cries. Everyone is just shaken. But what happened? Why is he crying so much today? And then he says, this is what I saw today. That this morning I had a vision, and that is, I have died, I have passed away. My body is in the coffin, being brought to be laid to rest. My grave was shown to me. The body was by the grave, so I was happy till then. And the moment I was going to be buried, there was a big, black, wild dog that was by me, and I was told that he is going to be with you in your grave until the day of judgment. Why was that? Once in a while, he changed his tone. He became a little bit angry. Now, when I say angry, it's not like the anger that we show. The anger of these delicate and gentle people, it's very delicate. So even for that little bit of anger which he had once in a while, says that was going to be his associate. He says that I wasn't the coffin, I started crying and I sought help and tawassul with Abu Abdullah and said, Imam, you help me. He says, Imam came and hushed the dog and said, don't worry, you will be safe until the day of judgment. So it's shocking that these qualities which are negative, like ghazab, like rage, like all these are bad and we have to try and put them away. Or for example, during the early days of Islam, when a person comes and starts swearing at Amir al-Mu'mineen, Qanbar was there. He took his sword out to knock off that person. Imam says, Mahlan ya Qanbar, da shatimak ya nahanan. Let's stop. Hold on, Qanbar. Speak to him. That is, be kind to him. That attitude of Ma'sumin was so beautiful, so wonderful, that it changed every person. So that rage has to be and that is by tolerance. We have to have that tolerance. When it comes to education of children, tolerance is required. A lot of tolerance is required. It shouldn't be as such that if the child comes and asks something, we just swear at him and push him aside. That is not an Islamic teaching. No matter who he is, what age that child is, until the age of 7, he is the boss. You just have to listen to him. From 7 onwards, yes, you can start educating him, teaching him, but within those parameters that have been set by Islam. From 14 onwards, he becomes your advisor. Listen to him. You can't be wild at him. So, hilm, tolerance is required, is needed. It's very... And then says, لَا شَرَفَكَ الْعِلْمِ وَلَا عِزَّكَ الْحِلْمِ, that there is no honor like knowledge. This ignorance that we have, it has to be removed. And how do we remove it? With ilm. What do we mean by ilm? Al-ilma. That is what with which we come closer. Ubida bihir Rahman wa hussina bihil Jinan. With which we worship Allah. And with which we attain the heaven. That is ilm. It could be anything. It may be sciences. It may be computers. It may be IT. It may be deen. Whatever. We can study, and with that knowledge, with that science, we can come closer to God. That becomes ilm. Whatever reduces the distance between us and God is ilm. But if we become a package of arts, all the doctorates are with us, but we don't reduce the distance between us and God, no more than garbage. Worthless. That is what Quran says. That is what the teaching of Ma'asumeen are. So, dua says, Allahumma aghnini bil-ilm, God make me rich with knowledge, with science, which reduces the distance between me and him. Wazayyinni bil-hilm, and then adorn me, beautify me with tolerance, with hilm. So tolerance is very needed. In the early days of Islam, when the Muslims were being attacked, and then after the Fath Mecca, and Muslims, they were returning back to Mecca, and they were entering in large numbers, so Muslims over here were very happy. They said that the kuffar, they killed us, they butchered us in large numbers. Then, now that we are going to go, we are going to kill them. It's going to be fun. So that was the slogan they had, that al-yawm, yawmul malhama. Today is the day of slaughter. We are going to kill them as they killed us. Rasulullah, this prophet of mercy and compassion, comes and changes the slogan. Says, al-yawm, yawmul marhama. Today is the day of mercy. Al-yawm a'azzanna Quraishan. That today Allah dignified, glorified Quraysh. So that is with that hilm, with that tolerance, Rasulullah invites in that beautiful way, to that beautiful path. That is without tolerance, that is impossible. Or says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْحَيِّ الْحَلِيمِ الْعَفِيفِ الْمُدَّهَ A faith that surely Allah loves a chaste and a modest person and someone who is tolerant. Someone who is tolerant, may that be towards his wife, towards his children, or in the society when you come across so many problems, you have to have a lot of tolerance. Without that, a person can never succeed. Quran says, Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا That is, the sincere servants of Allah, they are those that they walk on this earth with humbleness. And when the ignorant they address, meaning that when the ignorant start swearing at them, when the ignorant have bad words towards them, قَالُوا سَلَامًا Their words are peace. That is tolerance, which Quran talks about. Ma'asumi says that if we are tolerant, the first thing we get is أَوَّلَ عِبَدٍ حَلِيمٍ That is, and the nas ansaruhu min al-jahil. The people, they will become your supporters as a result of your tolerance, if you are tolerant towards others. The performance of our ulama, we find that it is beautiful. In this green movement that we had last year, and there were all these different stories from every side, and one of those stories was that the Ayatollah Khamenei, he's got 6 children, 4 sons, 2 daughters. The eldest one is Mujtaba. And from the other party, they said that he is from our side. And all these rumors were spread. No, nothing to do with the rumors and what was said and what was not. The father was informed, this is what your son is. In reply, he says that Ishan Aghaz, Aghaz or Denis. Aghaz, yani he himself is someone great. He is not someone, some Aghaz or his son. Abbas Ali means he's not an Ayatollah's son. He himself is great. A beautiful teaching. That he elevates his children to that rank, that a father elevates and promotes his children in that beautiful way, educates them. Not that he, like we've seen many a times, that children, they are scolded in front of others. That is an un-Islamic teaching. We have no right to shun the child in the presence of others. So for this tolerance, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about so loud, the first thing which plays the most important part in losing our tolerance or in swearing at others, it's the tongue. That tongue has to be monitored. There's a hadith from our fourth Imam, he says that every morning when we get up, the tongue, because that's the spokesman, addresses every part of the body, every part. Hello, how are you? Hello, how are you to every part. They also in reply says that we will be fine if you let us be fine. That is, you will say something during the day, some backbiting, some accusation, some wrong word, some swear word, some haram, as a result of which we will be punished. Because of that tongue. It says, we will be fine if you let us be fine. Quran says that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا That is, if you protect this tongue of yours, Allah will correct all of your actions, all of your a'mal, no matter how much wrong we have done. If we just observe this tongue, he says, I will correct every wrong of yours. Just for that one protection of the tongue. And ulama of akhlaq, they recognize the tongue to be the most beneficial part of the body, and also at the same time the most criminal part of the body. It can do the best and can also do the worst. For that reason, this tongue has to be protected. The Prophet, he says that if you have not protected your tongue, you haven't done anything throughout your life. So that tongue has to be protected. The best charity, which he says, is the protection of the tongue. That if we protect our tongue, it's better than giving any other charity in the way of Allah. And then says that on the day of judgment, the worst and the most severe punishment that will be given, it's going to be to this tongue. And then that tongue will say, God, why is that? يُعَذِّبُ اللَّهَ الْلِسَانِ بِعَذَابٍ لَا يُعَذِّبُ بِهِ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ فَيَقُولُ أَيْ رَبْ عَذَّبْتَنِي بِعَذَابٍ مِنْ God, you've punished me with a punishment. You haven't given that punishment to any part of the body. Why only me? Why not others? فَيُقَالُ لَهُ خَرَجَ مِنْكَ كَلِمَةٌ That is, and a word was uttered by you. And that one word reached the east of this world, and it just was flares and fires, battles and wars, so much of bloodshed because of that one word that was uttered by you. So for that one tongue, Allah says that I will punish it in a way that no other part of the body will ever be punished. Now, how do we control this tongue? Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam, he says that treat this tongue of yours like a wild dog. Now what do we do with a wild dog? We tie it and we put it in a chains and a cage. He says that this tongue of yours, it has to be under control. Keep it locked shut behind your teeth. Don't let it out. Think before you want to say something, and when you say something, don't regret. That is, he says that a wise person's tongue is behind his mind. But a foolish person says first and then starts thinking, what did I say? For that reason, he says that have it shut behind your teeth, behind those bars, behind those teeth and cage. That way you will be safe. Looking into the performance of, for example, the masajid that unfolded on Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha, she lived for about 75 or 95 days after the Prophet. She comes to the grave of Rasulullah every day. Now when she comes there, she doesn't say that, God, this is what had happened to us, this is what they did, this is how they looted, they plundered, they crushed me between the door and the wall. No, none of these words. She comes, she cries by the grave of her father, and the only thing she says, شَمَتَ بِي عَدُوِي That is, Father, look what the tongue did to us. It's those words. Masaib we recite, and upon listening to the Masaib, you cry. But there are people, they say that the words that were used for Ma'asumeen, they themselves are great Masaib. For example, what was used for Imam in that hadith that was mentioned, that Mal'oon, he comes and says, I'm certain you are drunk. So that is, the greatest insult, the greatest sin that a person could do, that was by the tongue. And such words were addressed a lot to Ma'asumeen here. She says that Shamata bi aduwi, it was the tongue, the words, which hurt us the most. Now, for this tongue, we have to train. And with that tongue being under our control, we find that we can be tolerant. Many a times we get all these different news that husband swears at wives, children swearing at parents. All that is bad. We are totally unaware of what a great disaster is being committed over here. Marhum Shahabadi, the Ustad of Irfan and Akhlaq of Imam Khomeini, his students say that one day he went to the hammam to have a shower. In those days there were no showers in homes. And when he had washed himself, he wanted to come out, and there was this dirty water outside the hammam. And to protect himself from that water splashing on him, he was very cautious. and he walks tiptoes and comes out of the shower. Another general, a bad-mouthed person, he sweared at him. He just looked at him, didn't utter a word, didn't say anything. The next day when he was giving his lecture, there was a funeral. He asks, whose funeral is that? The students, they say that that person yesterday in the shower, in that hammam, who sweared at you, after he sweared at you, he had a blister on his tongue. And that blister just grew and grew, and nothing could be done. All the best of doctors came to treat him. He couldn't be treated. And in less than a day, he died due to that severe pain of that one swear word which he used for you. So we have to be very careful of this tongue, that we don't know who we are talking to. Many a times it may be that Waliullah, it may be someone who is sacred to Allah. He may not, she may not utter a word, say a word, but we've broken the heart of someone who is very great, someone who is sacred. So for that reason, that tongue has to be constantly under monitoring, under observation. And then, in another report, here Hazrat Musa is known as Kalimullah, talks to Allah. Says, Allah, how do you find me? Allah says, wonderful, very good Musa, you are the best. And then says, that what about the people? Allah says, people, they back chat a lot. They talk behind your back a lot. They say, Musa is ignorant, Musa is illiterate, Musa, he misuses the public funds and uses them for his wife and children. Musa is this, Musa is that. All those words. And then Allah, he says to Allah, Allah, why don't you make them shut up? He says, they do the same for me. That is, they talk about me a lot. Why don't you make them quiet then? He says, then why have I created the hell? That hell has been created for these people who don't control their tongues. So Rasulullah, he says that tongue, you have to protect it. And if you do that, قُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, be dignified in your talk. And if you are that, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ, that is your a'mal, he will correct, and all the wrong that you have done, he will just reverse it and make it into good, just for that one protection of the tongue, because tolerance. So in this tolerance that we find, that which is between the husband and the wife, there are certain parameters that have to be observed, some limits to be observed. Most of the time, the husband, the wife, they say, it's my right. She says, it's my right. We don't need to work, go after the rights. If we stick within the program and go after the duties, we'll find that it's going to be a very healthy movement throughout the life until the day of death. Quran has this beautiful ayah in Surah Al-Rahman, says that, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَغْرِيَانِ, that is, between this death and the hereafter, there is a barzakh, there is a period, an era that doesn't patch. Here says that, then the next ayah is, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ, and from there, we find that small pearls and greater pearls, they erupt, they come into existence. Mufassirin, they say that, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ, the two are Ali and Zahra alayhim as-salam. And when it says that from the two pearls, great and small, they emerge, are Hasanain alayhim as-salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
How come pearls, they emerge? Pearls come into existence. It is because that framework, those parameters were observed. Because there wasn't any baghi. Baghi means to exceed the limits, to trespass, to cross the limits, zulm, oppression. Because there wasn't any zulm from his side, there wasn't any zulm from her side, as a result of that beautiful atmosphere that was created at home, you find pearls grow. But if we have a wild atmosphere at home, husband bashing at the woman, at the wife, she yelling at the husband, then definitely the children, they are also going to be of that same caliber. It is said that the mother, passive smoking, it has that effect. The child in the mother's womb is not smoking, but is affected by the smoke by the, which the mother intakes. Or the sin that she does, he also is affected by those sins, although he hasn't sinned at all. It is that effect. The wrong that we do in the house, may that be the husband or the wife, the father, the mother, the children, whatever, if that atmosphere is contaminated, is polluted, the effect is that the children, they will be affected. يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَ اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانُ, which Quran says, from their pearls, which are great and small, they come into existence, they will not come into existence. So if it's a single parent family, if the father is absent, if the mother is absent, the love and care which should be provided by the father is not given to the child, if that love and care which should be from the mother's side is not given to that child, definitely it's not going to be a perfect child, which Quran says, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَ اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانُ, the pearls definitely will not come into existence if that give and take, if that tolerance is lacking in household. Many a times we find that if good education is given to them, we think we have done the duty. Best of education, best of schools, best of colleges, internet, what and what not, technology, all that is false. The best of education, which Quran says, the best of education, which Ma'asumeen say, they say it's tarbiyat. Tarbiyat means the right upbringing, so that they know God, so that they become better servants. If they become better servants, then that technology also is going to be of benefit for them. That knowledge, that science, the schools are also going to be of benefit for them. Otherwise, no matter what we do and where we do, that is not going to be of any benefit. Quran says, Jahiliyatul Ula. You've heard this term. Jahiliya means ignorance. Ula means the first. So when we say Jahiliyatul Ula, the first ignorance, it means that there is another ignorance which is going to come later. If I say this is my first child, it means there is a second one also. So when Quran says Jahiliyatul Ula, in that Jahiliyatul Ula, we found that they, of that belief, that girls should be buried alive. Because they taught girls to be bad. But what we find today in this era of ignorance, that boys and girls both are buried. That is by this termination of births, abortions that we have. Then it was only the girls that were buried, but now boys and girls are being buried. Then the girls were being buried, but now boys and girls are flushed down the drain in the toilets. So it is jahiliyyah. It is that ignorance. Why do we have that ignorance? Because that tarbiyat is lacking. Because that upbringing in that Islamic way, the way that Allah wants us to be brought up, that is lacking. Or in other words, we could say that that was the ignorance of the olden days, and it is the ignorance of the modern day that we are living in. So it's the same human being, but then it was that olden ignorance, like the modern ignorance. War, for example, then in the olden days, when they used to fight, it was known, this is the bad one part of the war, and they are the enemies, the components. So there were etiquettes in fighting. How many to be sent, horsemen to be sent, on foot to be sent, when to be have, to have that ambush, there were adab. But now these adab don't exist. Just shoot a missile, men and women, children, all of them are dead. So that is ignorance. So why do we have that jahiliyyah ignorance? Because of that tarbiyat which is lacking, which Allah says that we have to have. And why does that lack? It's because of that atmosphere which was bad, which was provided to that individual, as a result of which a person, he trespasses, he oppresses each other. So inshallah we'll continue on this tomorrow. So Rasulullah, he says that مَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِفَلَاسِ فَقَدْ خَسِرْ, that someone who does not bring these three in the year after, he will be a loser. What are the three? First one, he says, it's this حِلْم, tolerance. But someone who is not tolerant, he will be the loser in the hereafter. When it comes to the infants that we have, it is said that a mother, she has to breastfeed the child. And when a child gets used to the mother and she wants the child, she wants to stop that child from feeding, that is the weaning process, it's tough. See, she uses all these different methods to stop this milk, that is weaning. In Karbala, we have a different method of weaning that we see on the day of Ashura. This infant of Abu Abdullah, which is breastfed. And the weaning process over here is by an arrow that was shot into the neck of Aliya Aswad. Abu Abdullah, he comes to the camps, says, "Can I say farewell to my son?" The son is given to Abu Abdullah, he bows down to kiss him, and that arrow lands onto the neck of Aliya Aswad. On this day of Ashura, we find that Abu Abdullah, his performance, his actions regarding Abul Fazl Abbas are different. Abul Fazl is the strongest supporter of Abu Abdullah. And the toughest task also was given to him, that to go and fetch some water for the children. He goes to the river, someone who is thirsty, someone who himself is dehydrated. Upon seeing all that amount of water, could have had a few sips himself, but he doesn't. Fills the vessels with the water, takes those vessels, comes towards the camps. He is shot, he loses one of his arms, holds the vessel in his left hand, shot, loses the other hand, holds it into his mouth. He is shot, and all that water which he was carrying is lost. Falls to the ground. Now someone who has lost his arms, hands, someone who wants to disembark from the horse, the first thing he needs his hands to rest onto the ground. But Abbas has no hands. Falls to the ground. And there Abu Abdullah comes by his side. Puts his head into his lap. Says, "I'm going to wish, don't take me to the camps. I'm ashamed. The children, they had a wish and I could not fulfill their wish." Abu Abdullah wipes the eyes of Abul Fazl Abbas, cleans them, says, "I have a wish too, Abbas. What is that? Throughout your life you always called me master, never brother. Called me brother once." He calls him. Now when Abu Abdullah comes to the camps, he wants to inform that Abul Fazl is no more. He comes straight to the camp of Abul Fazl, and here he is not on the horse, he is walking himself. Comes straight, and the column which holds that tent, that camp of Abul Fazl upright, removes it, and that camp collapses, falls down, and falls to the ground. That was in itself a whole lesson, that everyone understood what he wants to say, that Abul Fazl is no more, that the flag bearer has passed away. Then Abu Abdullah says, "Al-an in kasar al-dhahri," that today my back broke, that is when Abu Fazl passed away. "Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayyam al-qalabin yam-qalibun. Ilahi bihaqq al-zahra wa amiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawda'i fiha ya Allahu ya Allahu ya Allahu. Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. Allahumma ahyina hayata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Wa amitna mamata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma rizukna fil dunya ziyarata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Wa fil akhirati shifaata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma ajjil fi faraj Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad." For all those who have wishes, hajjah, who have requested for dua from us, Ya Allah, fulfill all of the du'as, the hajat, the requests. All those who are ill and ailing, may Allah grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks. Wa ajil fi faraji Mawlana sahib al-salam.
Ya Hussein.